to Hades. In Greek mythology, Hades is both the name for the ruler of the netherworld and his domain.
And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18.
The Bible's first clear reference to a hell of punishment comes in the book of Daniel.
Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2.
But not until the New Testament does hell find a home in the Bible. Jesus' ministry turned human eyes away from the earthly and toward a transcendent relationship with God. In the Gospels, Christ proclaims a message of redemption, but also warns of sin's consequence.
And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Mark chapter 9, verses 47 and 48.
Jesus talked about hell more than he talked about heaven. And I think implied in there is an urgency to warn people that unless you do something about it, you will be going to hell.
Jesus also gives his followers a visual depiction of what hell might be like. Just outside of Jerusalem was Gehenna, a noxious trash dump where refuse was burned. In the Gospels, Christ speaks of Gehenna as a metaphor for the fires that will not cease to burn.
The imagery comes from this trash heap on the edge of Jerusalem where the refuse of Jerusalem was constantly burned. And that provided the kind of image that has come down through the Christian tradition of hell as a place of smoke and fire and eternal torment.
It communicated a thought, the worst possible place, the most painful, a fire that never goes out. It's a terrible place.
Its graphic nature is forever emblazoned in several passages.
They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew chapter 13, verse 42. Depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41.
But for all the torture described in biblical portraits of hell, many theologians hold that the ultimate agony described in the Bible comes from eternal separation from God.
He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9.
Probably the most basic meaning of hell is separation from God. That really is what it's all about. That's privation. Absence from the presence of God forever.
Hell is a physical place, with the Bible offering clues to its location.
The earth opened its mouth and swallowed them. They went down alive into the grave. The earth closed over them. Numbers chapter 16, verses 32 and 33.
Hell is located in the middle of the earth, the center of the earth. God created that place for the devil and his angels. Jesus tells us that.
Biblical descriptions of hell's agony culminate in a brief notation in the book of Revelation, the apocalyptic story about the end of the world and final judgment.
And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10.
While Satan is allowed by God to bring tragedy upon Job, in the book of Matthew, the devil tests the Son of God. While Jesus fasts in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, Satan offers him three temptations, including the most alluring one of all, power.
The devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 and 9.
We are tempted not with the worst of sins, but with the noblest. We're tempted to take things into our own hands rather than to trust God. Jesus, in that time of spiritual isolation, of testing, is tempted to take things into his own hands, is tempted to use his power to control rather than to serve, to create an empire rather than to be God's son.
Jesus refused to take any shortcut. He refused to get the kingdoms of this world, which Satan offered him as the god of this world. He refused any shortcut to the cross. He had to die.
After Jesus' death, one Christian text suggests that he descends into hell. The Apostles' Creed, written sometime between the 2nd and 9th centuries, is the most popular creed used in worship by Western Christians.
He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again.
Most scholars interpret the passage to mean that Jesus descends not to battle Satan or deliver the damned, but rather that he journeys to Sheol in order to free the just souls who had gone to the realm of the dead.
After his death on the cross, Jesus, in a spiritual sense, went to Sheol, to these Old Testament saints, to announce to them that the ultimate sacrifice had been made, their sins were forgiven, that heaven was open for them.
In recent decades, numerous people have reported near-death experiences, a conscious perceptual experience which takes place during a near-death encounter. Most describe a peaceful journey, being guided through a tunnel bathed in bright light. But a select few have experienced something far more frightening. They claim they have journeyed into a world alive with torment. They believe they have been to hell and back.
Anything that you've ever imagined or seen in a horror movie, it was worse than that.
In 1985, 38-year-old Howard Storm was traveling in Europe when he suddenly collapsed with a perforated stomach. Rushed to the hospital, his condition quickly worsened.
The doctors told me that my life expectancy was about 5 hours.
That night, Howard lost consciousness. As he slipped toward death, Storm believes he left his body. Mysterious voices called out to him, and he followed them into the hallway.
There were a number of these people, male and female, all adults, and very difficult to see them. They immediately encircled me. They were getting closer, and it was getting tighter as we went into this increasing darkness. And I'm just completely terrified. So they began to push and pull at me. They were definitely trying to elicit pain. What they were doing at first was scratching and biting. And then it got much worse. And I had their mouths in me and on me. I was screaming, I was fighting.
Although not a religious man, Storm says he called out prayers he had learned as a child in Sunday school.
And the people who were around me couldn't bear the mention of God.